Welcome to the Puma Podcast. And I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
Hey, we're glad you joined us today. The Puma Podcast, we talk about Jesus' life and everything in between.
Yes, sir.
Which can include a lot of weird things sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of weird things, yeah. We don't have any jokes this time, do we, this week?
Well,
compared to last week?
I don't have any jokes to share. So, yeah. Nope. We are glad that you joined us again today. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about how to live wisely in a foolish world.
The
book of Proverbs is one that we've been kind of going over this year. And there's, I mean, really so many very practical, applicational things in Proverbs. I read through the Proverbs and like every verse reminds me of a person or a situation. And our subject today is one that really, when I read over some of these verses, I mean, all kinds of things pop into my head, over and over again. So I grew up in an era where if you were bad at school, you would get sent down to the principal's office, and he had a paddle, and you would actually get spanked at school by the principal.
Wow.
And my family had a 2-for-1 policy that if you got one at school, you got another one at home. And so, I grew up in an era where, kids, did things that were wrong and they got paddled, they got spanked. Mm. And today, as a culture, we've moved way far away from that. But this word discipline is sort of what we want to look at today because Proverbs talks about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so often I think people, when they hear the word discipline, and maybe as you've heard that here just now, you had a little trigger going on in
your
life.
Had a flashback.
Yeah, I had a flashback. So hopefully we can maybe soothe some of those flashbacks here today.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into this topic on what Proverbs has to say about discipline. All right, Puma. Discipline. I know that you are my father, so this word is a little more personal.
Yes.
It's good. I have learned to really appreciate all the times you and Mom had disciplined us, and punish, I think, can have a maybe different connotation than discipline. But yeah, the way you corrected me and my siblings were not often good little angels, especially as pastor kids. And so discipline was never too far from our vocabulary because we knew what it meant. But also, we also knew what it felt like. I think the word discipline carries a lot more emotion. I think some people, when they think of discipline, they might think of, working out or, training for a marathon. I discipline my body. Other people, discipline sounds like total abuse. Like I was yelled at and my dad threw things. He called it discipline because that word can mean different things based on how you were raised, how you have even come to know what that word means, discipline.
Yeah. And so it's like you said, I mean, we can use the word in one sense of, I want to get a chiseled body. And so I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to discipline myself and the things that I eat, No more junk food, no more Mountain Dew, no more Doritos. Yeah. No more 12 slices of pizza, per meal.
I'm just 11.
Right. Yeah. Good 10. Right. We're going to go down. So we think of discipline, and that is a good thing. And even, like those kind of personal disciplines, I discipline myself. I want to get better rest, so I'm going to exercise. I'm going to, go to bed early, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I want it better health. See, we understand discipline in that context, and that's not a negative thing in that context. Mm-hmm. Now, is it painful sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be painful sometimes. Do you have to deny yourself sometimes?
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes working out is the worst.
Working out is the worst. But you are willing to discipline yourself and go through discipline because we know that there is a better outcome on the other end.
True.
There is a reward that's worth it. Or I'm going to say the sacrifice is worth it when we discipline, ourselves for those things. When the Bible talks about discipline and when Proverbs talks about discipline, it's not necessarily talking about, that type of thing, although there's a little bit of that. But when we think of discipline, we think of more just being punished for doing something wrong.
Right, yeah.
And there's, like you mentioned, there's a lot of abusive or a lot of really bad examples of, discipline that maybe wasn't appropriate or wasn't just or maybe not even necessary that many people have suffered and experienced, which is very, very real. So I understand it can be triggered. Hopefully today, as we kind of talk about this and kind of unpack this a little bit, that it's not that the word wouldn't be a negative, but we'd see it super positive, especially in relationship to the heart of God.
Interesting.
One of the, I'm going to say the verses that really has jumped out at me in Proverbs about this, and partly because I am a father and I have sons, is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And it says this, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." So when you hear that, what first thing comes to your mind as you heard that?
The Lord disciplines those he loves. It sounds like discipline's a good thing. And it must be. I mean, the Lord isn't evil. The Lord is good. So if the Lord disciplines, it's always out of love. It's never out of self-gain or just abuse. That's interesting.
Yeah, verse. So I want to take the word discipline and maybe put it in a more holistic context, because we hear the word discipline, especially in the Bible, and all we think is punishment. I mean, we associate that word strictly with punishment.
True.
And there's a couple words in Proverbs that are translated discipline, and there's a couple of them that I think do highlight this idea of punishment with that. One is Proverbs 19:18. It says, "Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death." In other words, the assumption in that verse is that your son is guilty and your son has violated God's law, and there is appropriate discipline or punishment that should happen, because only there is their hope. And he says, don't be a willing party to your death. In other words, a heart that is bent on sin, that is not corrected, that is not disciplined, or does not have appropriate punishment to highlight the seriousness of sin, will result in an eternal death. We think the world says just the opposite, that you're pushing a kid to be mean when we punish them for things. But really, the idea of discipline is to correct that which is off, right? And punishment sometimes is a part of that. Another verse, Proverbs 29:17, uses the same word here. It says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul." So the idea there is that, the heart is sinful, and that the sinful heart is rebellious against God, and that unless that heart is corrected and disciplined and even punished to highlight the rebellion, a rebellious person will never become a delight in a peaceful person on their own. A sinful heart that's not corrected, Proverbs says this over and over again, that a heart that's not corrected continues to grow in its folly. In other words, if you're walking the path of foolishness, the path of wickedness and sin, you don't get less wicked as you enjoy and walk in wickedness. It grows and manifests and matures. This is why some of the verses we looked at in the past, like, "He who walks the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." To be cautious in friendship, because we take down other people in our wickedness. So here, these two verses here talks about discipline as a punishment. But most of the words that are translated discipline in Proverbs aren't necessarily dealing with punishment. They're dealing with this idea of instruction. Chapter 1, verse 7, that says, "Fools despise wisdom and discipline." And then the very next verse says, "My son, listen to your father's instruction." The word discipline in verse 7 and word instruction in verse 8 are the same word in Proverbs. So
could you say in the verse you read earlier that the Lord instructs those he loves? Is that the word instruct there?
So the two verses, Proverbs 19:18 and 29:17, about discipline your son, that is one of those words that is used more for actual punishment. But most of the rest of the verses, a lot of them in Proverbs, have to do with instruction. And so you know, instruction can be to inform you, to kind of warn you, and it can be to correct you, right? It can be corrective.
It's got multiple.
Like, yeah, to correct. But it is an active word. It's not a passive thing. It's like, I want to instruct you. I want to warn you. I want to correct you because I want to help you change or go in a different direction, right. Not continue where you are.
Yeah. It's like a coach. I mean, a good coach will push their, I don't know, students, their different people on their team to do better, to go further. And that does involve instruction and maybe some chores or disciplines they need to learn. But a bad coach who doesn't care, a bad coach isn't the one on the bench. He doesn't care how his, you know, players do. And so I guess in the concept of the Lord instructing, the Lord correcting, the Lord guiding, disciplining those he loves, is really because he believes in us. He wants us on his team. He thinks we have something to offer.
No, he thinks that there's something redeemable. There's something valuable. Yeah. That as we are, he knows that there's more, or we can grow. We can become better, or we can mature beyond where we are.
Yeah.
You know, when someone believes in us like that, when they care about us in that way, like you said, like a coach, you know, you want, or like a parent, right? I want my kid to be wise. I want my child to have good character. And so I might say, today we're going to clean toilets all day. And let me tell you about toilets. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to punish you. I'm trying to shape you. I'm trying to mold you to be someone who is mature, someone that understands the value of things, someone that develops skills. See, these are the ways of being disciplined. So it's instructive. It's a warning, because if you don't know how to do this, here's some consequences that can happen.
Right.
It's corrective. It's like, you know, right, you were sort of inside the line, but let me correct you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not being mean. That's being helpful. That's being loving.
Yeah.
So many of the verses in Proverbs, when it says discipline, is this idea of to discipline or to instruct, to correct, to inform. And a wise person, someone that wants to walk the path of wisdom, is willing to listen to loving instruction, to loving discipline, to loving correction, because they know that the one who is loving them is loving them for their good, to help them to go better.
Mm-hmm.
So the verse that we read there about father and son, Proverbs 3, says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline." The word there is the same word for instruction. Don't despise, don't refuse, don't reject what God has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Son, don't reject what God has to say. Listen to God's wisdom. Listen to God's words. He says, do not resent the Lord's rebuke, right? So the idea of rebuke, of telling you that you're wrong, right? Mm. People don't like to be told that they're wrong.
Right, yeah. No one wants to be exposed and look dumb or feel stupid.
Yeah, so he says, listen to what the Lord says. Don't get mad because he tells you that you're wrong, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. That word discipline is very different than the other ones that we've talked about. This word discipline has the idea of someone who kind of stands as a judge over us, who has a standard over us, someone that has the authority to correct. And they're correcting, and they're almost like pleading or begging us, listen, this is right. I know what's going on, and I am telling you that if you go a different direction, it is going to be bad for you. I have thorough knowledge of it. I stand and judge over you, and I've evaluated your situation, and you are off. And I'm telling you this because I love you.
Yeah.
Because if you continue going this direction, you're going to be in a bad way.
So I hear all those verses, and in my mind, I'm okay, wow, yeah, we need to be disciplined by the Lord. We really do need to have this accepting, willing, unproud, really. It's a humble stance. We need to listen to this instruction because God loves us, and if we trust God, then we believe that his judgment or his correction or his guidance or his instructions really are good. My question is, though, how do we get to that place? I mean, because we can all say, yeah, we should embrace discipline. We should embrace correction. We should embrace this instruction. But it's hard. It feels like we're stuck. Like, okay, yeah, I know I need, you know, God, you keep on correcting me. I know I got to get better at this. And my heart wants to, but I can't get there. I mean, how does a person get a malleable heart? How does somebody just embrace, you know, being challenged, being corrected? Because really it's, and especially people are good at something. I noticed you never want to correct or critique someone when their identity is in this one thing. Like, you know, one example of what this, what I shouldn't do, what I shouldn't have done, is to really attack someone when their key identity is in this said skill. My wife is a great softball player. She plays softball for many years, won, I think, 7 championships in high school. Had a lot of identity in stock in her softball skills. Very early in our marriage, we went to play softball at a park by my brother's house, and it was slow pitch. She used to fast pitch, and so, you know, she was always, oh my, you know, my bride, she's awesome at softball. She couldn't hit a single thing, and so we get back in the car, and I was making these jokes like, "Wow, you know, your softball skills really showed. You struck out 3 times," and it was a joke to me. And like, I'm like, you know, if you line up your knuckles, if you step swing, if you keep your elbow up, and I'm giving her these tips, not trying to be mean, but even critiquing something she held so dear was so hurtful, and I should have never said those things. But I realized that when people put their identity in stock into their skills, and someone critiques that, it is so hard to take instruction from something that you thought you actually knew. And so when it comes to God instructing us, when we think, oh, you know, God, I'm good at this one thing, I'm good at one thing, and here you are to discipline, to instruct, to correct, it's so hard to get into that mindset of really accepting that truth. Those are hard truths to just accept. So the verses are easy to read. It's hard to embrace. So how does one really cherish and not turn and run away from this type of discipline?
Yeah, well, it says that don't resent or the Lord's discipline because he disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. You see, it comes back to how we think of God. What do we think of God? Mm. A loving father who loves his son is going to do things for the son, for the son's best, right? For what's going to be most helpful for the son. A loving father would do that.
A good loving father would do that.
The issue is, I think, that we don't always see God as a good loving father. Our going back to our identity. I think we talked about this in the last podcast. You know, who do I see myself? Do I see myself as God sees me? You know, flip that around. Do I see God as he is? Do I actually see God as one who is good? God who does have my best interests in mind, a God who is for me and not against me.
Right.
Because if I see him as a loving father, that's why he in this verse, he says, the Lord disciplines us like a loving father would discipline us. In other words, he's a loving father, and so he wants what is best for us. He doesn't want to leave us as we are.
Gotcha.
I would be a horrible father or malpractice as a father if I didn't want my kids to grow beyond, you know, diapers, right?
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd be a bad dad. If I didn't teach my kids how to be potty trained, right? If I would be almost abusive if I let them stay in that kind of situation.
Like neglect or, some type of misconduct with your authority.
Right. I mean, see, the issue is that we don't always see God as one who truly loves me.
It's a relationship thing. It's a trust relationship. So as a loving father, it really does take so much, and not even humility, but trust. It takes a posture of, I may not like what I hear, it may not feel well, but I'm going to trust that my God, my heavenly Father, actually does have his best for me.
Right, you need to trust his heart. And this is what God, throughout scriptures, is trying to communicate us, trying to communicate to us who he is and what he's all about, and who we are in his sight, who we are as his special creation. So you get, the gospel. I mean, what does the gospel say? You know, the gospel is that we are loved by our God. You know, while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. You know, this is how we know what love is, John writes in 1 John. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get more loving? You know, even the world, you know, knows this, but the Bible says that rarely will someone die for a good person, but God demonstrates his love while we were sinners. Yeah. Jesus died for us, you know, to lay your life down for somebody. Is there a greater picture of love, humanly speaking?
Right.
Than that.
Isn't there even a proverb like, you know, wounds from a friend can be trusted? When do you know somebody loves you, that has their best, you know, that they really do have your best interest in mind? It's so much, it's not always easier, but it is a little bit easier to take that kind of instruction from someone when you know they love you. You know, when a friend wounds you, you can't trust the kisses of an enemy, but you can trust the wounds from a friend. And I think this concept of that you're talking about, the relationship between the instructor and the instructee, it matters a ton. Mm.
But we tend to despise, like you said, when people try to instruct us or try to correct us, when our ideas of ourselves, our identity are wrapped up in maybe the things that we're doing or the things that we have. And we don't like it when those things are taken away.
Yeah.
The writer Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12, says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, but if you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons.
Wow.
Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them, or maybe eventually respected them for it.
Right.
How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. See, just like when we discipline ourselves to have better health, we undergo maybe hardship, maybe self-hardship. I'm not going to have all the sweets and junk food that I regularly would like, because there is something that I desire better or more beneficial out there in front of that. If I go through this, there's a reward, something I'm gaining that's better than what I'm giving up.
Yeah.
When we let the Lord discipline us and we are willing to endure that, it is because we, in God's eyes, are gaining something better than what we currently have. And see, this is a mark of someone that's growing in wisdom, is that they don't despise the Lord's discipline in our life, but actually willingly accept it, because one, it says that God is treating us as his son that he loves. Two, it is because it is going to produce something in us that is better than what we currently have, or we're going to grow to a place where we currently are not. And so throughout Proverbs, you see this, you know, idea of discipline or instruction. You know, son, listen, pay attention to my instruction, you know, gain understanding, you know, acquire a disciplined and prudent heart. You know, you see all these kinds of statements. It's because God wants something better for us than what we currently have. He wants us to go to a better place in life than where we currently are.
Yeah.
And that is because he is a loving father. So don't despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, just as a father the son he delights in.
Yeah. No, it definitely sounds like this is to embrace this discipline, to embrace this instruction. It all comes down to, I think, two key things. One, God the Father loves us. He loves us so much to leave us unchanged. And in that love, there's belief. Part two, God loves us and God believes in us. Like you mentioned earlier, there's a better way for us. There is actual steps in our life that God knows that without his tweaking, his lovingly disciplining us, he believes that we can overcome, we can improve, we can grow. You know, people don't invest in those they don't believe in.
Right.
A good coach doesn't, you know, spend all this time, money, effort to train someone he knows is going to fail at football, right? But if you believe this guy is going to be a great quarterback, I believe in him, let me coach him and train him. I mean, a good coach, a good leader invests in people he cares about, that he believes in. And how cool to think that God, the God of the universe, believes in us, believes in me, in you, because he's willing to discipline us. That's just amazing. So what's a good application question, Puma? What's a good take-home application?
Well, a couple things. I mean, several places in Proverbs it says that, you know, he who ignores discipline despises himself, right? When we don't want God to discipline us, that should be a red flag in our lives. When I am in sin, or I am, you know, just having attitude, or I'm really just being self-centered or whatever, and we don't want to be corrected, that's a red flag. That's a red flag that we don't want for us what God wants for us. So this idea of letting the Lord discipline us, you know, are we open to that? Do we want God to take us places where we have not yet been in relationship with him? And are we willing to humbly submit to that? It involves, one, are we listening to God in scriptures? Because the Holy Spirit has a way. Part of God's discipline is just the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. Talking with Emily, you know, and doing that. So I too have many stories like that of things that I've said that I haven't. But God lovingly showed me the foolishness, the sinfulness of my heart, you know? And so when God uses other people in your life to show you your sinful heart, he's wanting to correct you. He's wanting to discipline you. He's not trying to punish you or to harm you. He's trying to grow you, mature you.
It's out of love.
Right. So part of the application question is, you know, what are the circumstances in your life? Who are the people in your life that God surrounded you, that God is using to grow you, to mature you? And, you know, to recognize that, to not reject those or spurn those, but see those as God's love for you. If he's put you in a family, if he's surrounded you with some godly friends, if you are having situations, maybe some hardships in your life, you know, is God wanting to grow and mature your trust in him, that he's going to get you through that? Because every life has hardships in one season or another. And it's not a time to reject, it's time to run to God. So all these different things are ways that God uses to grow us and to mature us, because he wants us to live wisely in this world, to walk the path of wisdom, which is a path of toward him.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good word. Yes, God disciplines those he loves. So does God love you? Well, yeah. Have you been disciplined? Maybe that's God. Maybe. No, that's a good word. Thank you. And guys, thank you so much for joining us and just following along. You know, we really appreciate your guys' support. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to connect with you guys and just be more disciplined. You know, that's a good word. It's not a bad word. And when God disciplines you, that is hard, but that's a blessing. I mean, I'd rather have God be invested and love me and believe in me than to fall prey to my own pride and keep on walking down the path of foolishness. Because you're right, we don't just stumble onto the path of righteousness without godly correction. So, hey guys, we love you. And yeah, tune in next week, Fridays at 10 at 10. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.